have your son actually come, Dad, will you come into business with me in brewing? Usually it's the father chasing the son to come into the family business. But here I had retired, and then I decided, well, I guess I do have a lot of good ideas to go. I'm not ready to put my head down.
Welcome to Drinks Adventures, a podcast about drinks and the people who make them. I'm James Atkinson, and in this episode, I'm talking to the founders of Sydney's newest craft brewery, Chuck & Sons Brewing Company. And yes, we are talking about Chuck Hahn, who is sensationally making a return to the brewing industry in partnership with his son, Scott. Chuck notched up 50 years in the brewing industry in 2021, which we celebrated on this podcast with a special documentary episode that I've linked to from the show notes in case you missed it last time round. It is, of course, an exceedingly difficult market to launch a new brewery, even if you're Chuck Hahn. So we'll address some of those challenges that the brewing industry is currently grappling with later on in this interview with Chuck and Scott. Chuck, I must say I never thought I'd be talking to you in this capacity again, to be honest. I thought I'd see you around from time to time, but not launching a new brewery.
Yes, no, it's quite amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised, but not surprised in a way, you know?
Well, when you start brewing in 1971, you know, you've had a lot of experience over those years and don't want to give up on all that straight away.
I'm just trying to think, when was it that when we did that special episode of the podcast celebrating your 50 years in the industry, when was it, I think, that you actually retired from line?
Well, retired in, let's see, August 2022.
Yep.
End of August 22. And then we kept having that celebration, planning that celebration. We had to keep putting it off because of COVID and finally snuck it in December, I guess it was.
Yeah, and your last day of work for Line
was the end of August 22.
Yeah, and so was this idea already being bounced around prior to that point? I guess it would have been because I know these types of projects have a pretty long lead time, Scott.
Yeah, absolutely, very long lead time. You know, at least a couple of years of planning and intentional planning of seeing where an opportunity was in the marketplace for a brand, I guess, leaning into that nostalgic craft brand. So something that we wanted to bring to the market that I guess we can bring a reliable and, you know, certain product to consumers, ones that they want to keep coming back for more. It's a perfect, I guess, blending of that old and that new. And I guess Dad was never going to stop. So I thought he has so much more to give the industry and so many more brews that he loves. And the opportunity was there to start Chuck & Sons Brewing Co.
Tell me a bit more about yourself, Scott, because I didn't really know too much about your background.
Yeah, sure. So in terms of a quick walkthrough of my career, I started a trainee cadetship program at a big four accounting firm back in the day, which allowed me to work full-time while studying part-time through a business degree. That was some great experiences, really good, decent learning ground, some great people, great clients. And while there, I guess I was quite a far way away from brewing. I was in the risk management and process improvement consultancy space. So doing a lot of work in a range of industries from banking, finance, construction, and then fast-moving consumer goods. And I think there is where I started to get more of an interest, particularly in the food and beverage space. From there, then progressed through some roles at Woolworths Group and at Lion, and that ranged from finance, strategy, customer experience, product management, and then sales. And I think being there, I got to what really struck me, I guess, working in the beer industry was that infectious passion and camaraderie that was inherently with the craft beer space.
That would have struck you at home as well, I would imagine, with, you know, when you're a bit younger with Dad coming home from work.
Oh, absolutely.
When he was ever home, he was always out promoting his products all the time, as you must do.
Yeah, so I guess I was pushed from multiple angles, I guess the industry that I was working in, but then also having it at home. And then just that electricity that I really saw in the industry. So, you know, talking to customers from hotels, pubs, liquor shops, as well as, I guess, home brewers or craft beer experts. You know, one thing that I just loved was that electricity when you would ask, What's your favorite beer style at the moment? And what kind of occasions do you like to enjoy them? Yeah, many would just, you know, talk my head off around the best beer types, ingredients and origins of ingredients, food matching opportunities. But what was really interesting was just hearing those stories behind, you know, the newest local brew pub or a craft brewery that was really kind of making its stride. I really wanted to be part of that.
And so what's kind of happened, you know, give us a picture of the last couple of years in terms of, you know, when did you decide that it was going to be a brewery in the inner west and how long did it take to find the right site, et cetera?
Yeah, that's such an important thing is to find the right site. But I think first and foremost is arguably the inner west is the heartland of craft beer in Australia. And it's also an area that, Dad, you spent a lot of time at, you know, with the Hahn Brewery and the Malt Shovel Brewery. So I guess gravitating towards that that vibrant industry and that energy, it was a no-brainer to be part of the inner west. Finding the right site, yeah, very important. It took some time. We were probably looking a good passively, you know, 6 to 12 months, but then actively for about 6 months. So yeah, we got lucky over in St. Peter's.
Yeah, so tell us about the site. It's Unwin's Bridge Road, is that right? Yeah, I think I kind of know roughly where it is without knowing the exact spot.
Well, it's kind of an ideal location. I mean, it's a huge complex. It's owned by a family, and they've got a climbing wall there and a little swimming pool and a coffee roaster and some corporate headquarters for a number of companies. And so it's just an ideal spot, you know, for people. And it's right across from a park there too. So it's ideal for people to come in, have a tour of the brewery, have a couple of beers, socialize. So it's fantastic.
Yeah, there are a few heritage buildings on the site as well. I think it used to be a steam engine manufacturer back in the 1930s. So there's that real nice heritage element that comes through the tap room.
And will what sort of level of tap room will it be? Is it a full brew pub scenario with restaurant type food offering?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing that I've increasingly noticed in the marketplace is the opportunity to have a spiritual home for a brand that really kind of sings and where consumers can really experience that. So we have, you know, meticulously poured over all the details of a full service on-premise venue, so full bar. We're not having a kitchen, but we will have a permanent food trailer. So all the details from the furniture through to the lighting, we've poured over to make sure it's a really welcoming space, which hopefully you can join us later today, James.
Oh, right. Well, not sure about today, but if not today, very soon. How close are we getting to launch? Is the brewery itself actually commissioned or?
We're in the process of that now, doing some water brews. We've, over the last several months, we've done a numerous 20-liter kind of home brew setups to perfect all the recipes I've been thinking about for a long time and some really memorable beers that we're working on. So I think people will be blown away by what we've come up with.
Well, let's talk about that. There's going to be a few lagers in amongst the mix, I would hazard a guess.
Yes, a few of those and a few classic amber ales, possibly, a few things like that. You got to have a West Coast IPA. Whether we get into the real heavy New England IPAs, the real fuzzy ones that look like you're drinking orange juice, we probably won't get stuck into that too much. But more your classic styles, maybe classic German styles.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much my heritage. I mean, Hahn is German, of course. So that's where we're coming from, I think, some modernized classic German. And some Australian in there too, some Australian styles, of course.
You know, we've really had that opportunity by recruiting Chuck into this of being able to balance his vast expertise and experience as well as the heritage elements that he brings with, I guess, a little more of a refreshed approach to today's marketplace and palate. So as Dad said, bang on in terms of good classic beer types. The icons bring back, as you said, German style Pilsners, American Ambers, you know, an original old school style American pale ale. So before the battles of the West Coast and the New England's, just that kind of one of the original American style pails. But then we're also looking in the space of the low carb craft as well as another traditional style, Radler. So being able to bring that, I guess, you know, hybrid of that lemon and the beer to the marketplace, particularly for those newer drinkers.
Who else is part of the team? And I mean, I'm sure, Chuck, you've been working on the recipe development, but wouldn't imagine that you'll be in there brewing every single day. So you'll be putting on a head brewer. And who else is involved? Like from an investment perspective as well, is it purely a family funded venture?
No, well, we have an excellent head brewer there that we've recruited. It used to work for me at Malt Shovel Brewery.
Would that be someone I know?
Well, I guess, first of all, to answer that question around investors, we've got a very small team of investors that are all, I guess, passionate about beer.
And just to be abundantly clear, it's an independent operation.
Yep, so,
very much an independent operation.
We're really trying that kind of, multi-pronged approach where we're local, independent craft offering, and we're a family-run and owned business.
And then from a personnel side of things, Scott, you'll be, I imagine, running the show, essentially.
Yes.
the old fella here is just the brewmaster. I kind of oversee everything there is about beer.
Sure.
Yep, as well as doing a lot of the brewing. But, yeah, we've been very fortunate that we've been able to recruit quite an experienced brewer who brings, a lot of the charisma and charm and what we'd want to embody, I guess, our brand. We really kind of, as I've said before, the balance between old and new, and I guess that rugged, sophisticated brand is what we're after in that nostalgic craft. So our head brewer is Richard Van Grootel, and he has had, a fair bit of experience in the craft brewery world from running small breweries through to working for the likes of Malt Shovel when you were there, Dan.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And I guess in the, over the last couple of years since this project was kind of conceived, the market's turned pretty seriously. The economy's really, really taken a dive. And we've also seen a lot of breweries that are kind of struggling out there at the moment. Has that sort of been something that's concerning you guys to sort of be watching as you're bringing the project to life? Or do you kind of think that you've got the recipe to succeed over the longer term regardless?
It's really challenging out there. So have certainly been following it quite intently, and there is a lot of pain out there. Definitely empathize and really conscious of it. We are confident in our product and our offering. We do want to focus on that, I guess, hyper local market first and grow with intent. So really getting that brand established first and focusing on, the channels that we can control the most before growing from there. So I think there's still an opportunity in the marketplace for that nostalgic craft, for beers that are your go-to that can be in your, consistent lineup in your craft beer fridge or a tap room that, you repeatedly recommend for those occasions of sociability. But then also I think there's still that low carb craft offering to explore too.
I know most of those brewers that have had problems have gone into voluntary administration for various reasons. But I mean, I knew them as they were starting up and saw how relaxed they were as they went into COVID, trying to survive that and doing a lot of things there that maybe weren't proper business decisions at that time. And that's come back to bite them, I guess.
Around deferring taxes,
exactly. Yeah. I mean, government's going to give us so much free excise. Let's just try to go as far as we can on that, But that's a real debatable issue because Australia pays more excise than almost anyone else in the world. So you're paying the government more per liter than you are paying the supplier for your malted barley.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
It's gotten out of hand.
It's gotten out of hand. I mean, at least the government has started to support some of the small brewers with this excise-free amount. But back then, that's only been going for, say, the last 10 years. But before that, it was a mass struggle. It was terrible. But that's probably why we have 700 small breweries out there now. Back in 88, 89, we're starting up the Hahn Brewery. There are only 35 breweries in Australia. Now there's 700. It's just amazing.
What are the ambitions for the brand, guys? Like, do you see it kind of staying as a local, modest affair, or being Chuck, there's probably much bigger ambitions than that, I would have thought.
I think there's all kinds of opportunity. We just have to see how it grows. And as Scott was saying, we're going for that little classic styles. We're appealing to those people that just enjoy drinking beer, and enjoy the sociability that evolves from having a beer with your friends and your family and have your kids around. So it's not like a flash pub or anything like that, but it's a down-to-earth gathering place near a park where people can come enjoy themselves.
In terms of the brand itself, we do have big plans, but we're at the very beginning of that journey. So, you know, one of the things we're chasing is we'd love to be one of Australia's most respected and adored independent craft brewer out there. So that's our, I guess, North Star, and we're taking those steps from the beginning of that journey.
Now, I bumped into Justin Fox on Marrickville Road, and it was him who said, oh, yeah, I'm helping Chuck out with his new brewery. And I'm like, what? And he mentioned to me about the Napstein equipment that you've managed to get your hands on that's part of a sort of a feature of the brewery there. So tell me about that.
Well, it was in the Napstein Enterprise Brewery, which was in Tim Napstein's original winery in Clare in South Australia. And that was operated for a number of years. We put that in, I think, in 2006, 2007. And then it developed a good brand. It was more like a winemaker's beer, maybe too sophisticated for everyone at the time. But it was a great brand of beer that we had. And eventually that winery, Lion, sold that winery. And the people that bought it didn't really want to have the brewery there. So it was taken out and just stored at West End Brewery in Adelaide for a number of years. And then when Lion sold that brewery, they wanted to get rid of the kettles. And I said, well, give them to me. So I got them.
Was that your parting gift from Lion?
Probably. but those go way back, you know. They were actually made in Germany, and they were in a German brew house in Albury. And it went out of business. And the owner took it out, and he had it in his paddock. And so I went out and looked at it and ended up just buying it. And then we put it into the brewery there. And so it's just classic. I mean, they're a little tarnished right now, but we're going to shine them up. But, you know, solid copper domes, sort of like the Malt Shovel Brewery.
They are the centerpiece of our brewery. And I think it blends into the brand of the, you know, nostalgic craft, old and new blending. What's also unique is it's a fully electric brewery. So we've been able to retrofit these kettles and, you know, also get a brand new brew kit fermenters around it. And it's worked quite well.
And the two kettles sit right in front of a 15 meter long bar, wooden bar. So it's just beautiful.
And so are they just for show or?
It's a 15 hec brew kit and all the brews go through these two kettles.
Yeah, wow. Okay. There's no sort of constraints with using that equipment versus some of the newer gear that you can get these days?
No. I mean, this adds another dimension to that. I mean, and all of our tanks are all proper stainless steel tanks, just been delivered. So we have a number of tanks ready to be filled, ready to be enjoyed.
And you've settled on Chuck and Son. It's important to say Chuck and Son apostrophe S rather than Sons plural.
Because there's only one son, but Scott has three sons. So.
Yeah, right, yeah. And was it a fairly short conversation that led you to settle on that name? I mean, obviously, unfortunately, the family name was probably pretty off limits. So I would have pretty locked down with Lion, I would have thought.
Yes, pretty locked down there.
Yeah.
But I think the whole interesting thing about this, you know, here I was retiring after all these years, but to have your son actually come, Dad, will you come into business with me in brewing? Usually it's the father chasing the son to come into the family business. But here I had retired and then I decided, well, I guess I do have a lot of good ideas to go. I'm not ready to put my head down. And I guess they say old brewers never die. They just keep hopping along.
And have you shared the news with some of your old colleagues at Lion? Obviously, James Brindley's not there anymore, but yeah. other people who are around, what's the sort of reaction that you've got from people when you've told them that you're launching another brewery? have they said, are you mad?
Yeah, that you're bloody mad. I mean, everyone's concerned about the environment, and we are too, but, you know, we're prepared for that, you know? I think we've got some really good ideas coming forward. And the presentation is just coming together. And so, I mean, when you see it, you'll just say, oh, I can't believe that.
And will it be packaged beer from the outset, or is that something you'll potentially look at down the track?
Yeah, so at the moment, we will be doing, you know, focusing on the tap room and kegs, but then we've got, you know, meticulous detail in terms of our brand design and design of cans for our core range. So we will be packaging. So we might start with mobile canning and then transition through to the canning line. So both, yeah, brewing and packaging on site.
It strikes me that you're both extremely sort of optimistic about the future of beer and in the beer category in Australia generally. I mean, there's a lot of general malaise around beer at the moment. In fact, just this morning there was a federal government released a report from an inquiry they did into competition, and the two major breweries were sort of talking so much about how beer had been in decline for so many years. But yeah, tell me what makes you guys kind of positive about, you know, to invest in the beer category again.
That's probably a tricky question, I think, but it's, I mean, we're very positive about it, but we're taking, I think, a different angle than a lot of people have taken in getting a craft brewery going. And I think we're doing the right thing. Why we've done so much research now on and development in our new styles of beers, in the classic styles, as we say. So we're not talking about making beer from donuts or anything like that, you know. But we're just going to make, you know, good solid beers that people can enjoy.
Yeah, I guess, you know, beer continues to be in decline in Australia. And, you know, you could argue that, you know, we may have been drinking quite a lot as a culture. So it could have normalized a little bit. You know, drinking better, I think, is still a trend. But then also, you know, with economic challenges, is going to something that you can feel comfortable with. And so those kind of classic styles that we mentioned is something that we're really pushing. But I think also that, Dad, you've talked to me about that, that unification, you know, beer kind of unifies.
Well, you being a wine drinker, you know, you can say, you know, wine gentrifies, beer unifies, socialize. I mean, people want a social interaction, and that's what we're giving them, besides good beer. I mean, and we look forward to welcoming people into this this new brewery in the next couple months, for sure.
Chuck, one other thing I was going to ask you was, are you still putting some brews down in Jindabyne at the Banjo?
Banjo Patterson Hotel.
Yeah, is that still happening?
Well, the little Kosciuszko brewery there.
Yeah.
That brand has grown quite independently over the last 10 years to be a reasonable sized brand. But we're still, the Lion wanted to keep the brewery going there as the birthplace of Kosciuszko Pale Ale. So I agree. I mean, we've got a unit down there. I get down there for skiing and everything else. And so I've said, well, I'll put a brew through every month or so just to keep the birthplace of it open.
Nice. That's you're still the brewmaster down
there.
Yeah,
I've got a really good brewmaster down, assistant brewer there that's probably more of an independent brewer than anyone else. But his name's Dominic, and he's doing a great job down there.
Excellent. Well, gents, maybe what's the timeline from here on in? I think you've just said that the brewery is nearly up and running. What about the actual taproom? What has to happen? Are there any hurdles in terms of approvals and everything else that you've got to get sorted?
Yeah, we're working through that all that now. So we have our liquor license and various development approvals. We're chasing down an opening date of middle of May. So, okay. Yeah, it's looking good so far.
And in the meantime, can people find you on social media?
Yes, they can. Chuck and the Sons Brewing on Instagram, Facebook.
Quietly launched there, but hopefully pick up a few more followers off the back of this episode. Well, guys, thanks so much for coming in. I'm really, really excited to come and try the beers. I'm sure they'll be stellar. Don't have any doubts on that. And also see the space that you've created.
Fantastic. Thanks, James.
Thanks, James. Good talking to you.